In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. 40 years. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. God's people had been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. God had heard their cries, brought them out through the waters of the Red Sea and parted out into the wilderness. 40 years, this little way stop. 40 years. The people had thought they would get out of the wilderness sooner, but the Lord wanted them to learn what it meant to trust Him, to walk with Him day by day. The people had been relying on the Lord for manna. And so when the Lord finally brought them to the edge of the promised land, they sent 12 spies into the promised land to see what was before them. These 12 spies came back with the report of what the promised land, Canaan, and the great cities and fortresses there held. The people doubted. There's no way that we could take this land and live in it. There are armies and fortresses and great cities that stand opposed to us. No way. They didn't trust the word of the Lord. The Lord said, fine. If you don't think you can occupy the land, then you can continue to wander in the wilderness. Moses, then, at the end of these 40 years, gave a final sermon to his people. Deuteronomy is what we have. And in this sermon, Moses passed along his remembrance of what was important to the people. He had been on Mount Sinai years and years before, and here he gives his final farewell thoughts to the people. After completing this sermon, Moses dies, and Joshua is lifted up to be the new leader. Joshua is the one that's going to lead them into the promised land. So the people follow this Joshua, his name Yeshua, which means Yahweh or God saves, up to the Jordan River. They're on the east side of the Jordan River, and they want to cross into the west. There the Jordan River stands before them, not as daunting as the Red Sea had once before, but there the Jordan River stands. And those carrying the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence was supposed to dwell, walk out into the middle of this river. And just as the Red Sea had parted for Moses, the Jordan River parts. And the people are able to walk into the promised land on dry land. The first city they come to is the great city of Jericho. Joshua sends 2 spies out to scope the situation. These 2 spies get into Jericho to figure out what's going on, and they end up having to hide. They end up hiding in the house of a woman named Rahab, who's also a prostitute. Rahab, upon discovering them in her house, shelters them, is willing to listen to them, and says that she fears their God. So Rahab hides these 2 spies, and they're able to get out of the city and report back to the people. So the people then march upon Jericho. Famous childhood scene, probably, of the people surrounding the great city of Jericho. For 7 days, they march around the city. The first 6 days, they all march around the city once and then go home. But on that 7th day, as we heard in our text, the people marched around the city of Jericho 7 times. Then the priests blew their trumpets. The people shouted. And that was all they did. And the walls came crumbling down. The Lord, no effort of their own, handed to them Jericho. And then we come upon one of the most disturbing texts in all the scriptures. God's people march straight into the city and they kill everything. They kill the men, the women, the old people, the babies, the animals, all slaughtered. In the following days, the people then go out again to battle. on this arrogance, we can conquer anybody. They go out and they get their butts kicked. The people are confused. What happened? Jericho was so easy. The Lord tells them, "You broke my covenant." Joshua in the text thinks this covenant is primarily around the fact that they took the wealth of Jericho, the gold and the silver, for themselves and didn't give it over to the Lord. But covenant, if we remember that word, that covenant had started with the people on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20, where one of the very first words the Lord told his people, "Do not kill." They had broken the covenant of the Lord. If we look back at Moses' final sermon, we can dive into this question a little deeper. So Moses, you may remember, was not allowed to go into the promised land because he hadn't been listening and actually obeying the Lord. Moses' own arrogance had grown in the wilderness. He thought he was the man. He was the one that the people were to listen to. And there were times where Moses was doing his own thing. And the Lord said, "Moses, you are not offering my word to the people, but your own. You will not go in to the promised land." So he was forced to wander with the rest of the people for 40 years, and the Lord was going to wait until Moses was dead before he took the people into the promised land. So Deuteronomy is Moses' final words to the people. And it's a mixed bag. Moses gets a lot of wonderful things right in his final words to the people. Things like, "Listen and obey the Lord above all else." Excellent. Maybe you should have listened to that to yourself, Moses. "Be holy. You are set apart. You are different than all of the nations around you." Excellent. "Watch out for the abundance, the prosperity when you go into the promised land. Abundance will lead your hearts away from trusting in the Lord one day at a time." Excellent. "A prophet will come." As we heard last week, the Lord will raise up a prophet and he will help speak the word of the Lord to you. You are to listen when the prophet speaks God's word. Excellent. And Moses also gives them some other advice. Some other advice that actually flies directly in the face of what he had heard on Mount Sinai. The Lord had told him on Mount Sinai, "When you go into the promised land, I will hand it to you. You will do nothing to know that I am the Lord." Moses, however, in his final sermon tells the people, "When you go into the promised land, make sure you kill everyone." This is why the people did what they did in Jericho. Moses told them to in his final sermon. Even though the Lord on Mount Sinai had told him, "I will give you the promised land, I alone. You will do nothing but follow me where I lead." Moses thought to be holy and different and set apart, they needed to kill everybody that was different. And also, Moses told the people that Joshua was the prophet. Joshua is the one that the Lord is raising up. But interestingly, the end of Deuteronomy, after Moses is dead, whatever author tacks on the addendum at the end of Deuteronomy tells us very clearly, no one has arisen even to this day that will succeed Moses. Deuteronomy itself knows It wasn't Joshua. No one to this day has risen up to succeed Moses. The conquest of the Promised Land is the beginning of a long downward spiral that continues through the rest of the Old Testament. A spiral where God's people think they are listening to his voice, but it's actually other voices they're listening to. Seductive voices like Moses, God's own leader. We can listen to him, right? Joshua, Moses gave him to us as our new leader. Certainly we should listen to everything Joshua says. People think they are listening to God, but the discerning reader of the text will see they have raised up human beings and they are putting them in the place of God. This spiral will continue. Hundreds of years later, after this entrance into the Promised Land, there's another Joshua who is born. Joshua, Yeshua. In the Greek, Iesus. The English, you might be more familiar, Jesus. The name, the messenger, the angel of the Lord gave to this child at birth was Joshua. No coincidence. This Joshua would go out into the wilderness before he began his ministry, and he would be submerged in the waters of the Jordan River, the river the first Joshua had led them across. No coincidence. This Joshua would send out 12 spies into the land to preach the message of God ruling his world. The first Joshua had been one of these spies himself. This new Joshua would say, "You are holy and set apart and different insofar as you love your enemies." The first Joshua had said, "You are holy and set apart and different insofar as you slaughter your enemies." When God's people had walked into the Promised Land with the first Joshua and eaten the produce of the land, we are told in Joshua chapter 5, the manna from heaven stopped. God stopped giving his daily bread to his people as Joshua led them. The new Joshua or Jesus comes preaching, "Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about tomorrow. The Lord will provide. Pray every day for your daily bread, your manna." And the second Joshua did not point to his own authority. "Listen to me." He said, "Listen to your Father in heaven. Don't listen to human beings. Pray. Listen to God himself." Where have we gone astray like the people of Israel? Where have we, in all of our good intentions of following the Lord, started listening to a different voice? We thought we were listening to the voice of the Lord as it came through the pastor, a national leader, a family member, a friend, a neighbor. We were certain God was speaking through this person, leading us, directing us. And maybe we've just been fooling ourselves. God wasn't saying that at all. He was saying something altogether different. Human wisdom is seductive in our world. We believe we've figured out so much. We know so much about the world, the universe. Certainly, we know what's good and right and how we should approach life. And for us as the church, the community of Jesus, how have we been setting ourselves apart? How have we been making ourselves holy and different? Are we different in the way that we ostracize others in our world, cast them out, even want them dead so they can't contaminate us? Or do we make ourselves different as Jesus taught, by loving and embracing our enemies, of living one day at a time? Has our own manna ceased? Have we walked away from the voice of God where He is no longer giving us our daily bread? And we're relying on our own provision. Two Joshuas. Two different paths. One Joshua offers a way to follow God through killing, violence. The other offers a path to following God, to being set apart through love. Which one speaks the word of the Lord? Which Joshua is truly leading us into the promised land? Amen.